This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 252.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. Well, this is a slightly different episode than I was expecting to be recording for you today. So if I look at my content calendar, I actually had an episode scheduled, which was all about how I trained for the 2018 London Marathon and what I learned from the experience of running the race. But unfortunately, things didn't go to plan. I came off and I decided not to continue at 12 miles because I was really suffering with the heat. It was actually the hottest London Marathon on record. And I was just getting into trouble. I was starting to really have problems with the heat. And I made the decision that it was best for my health not to continue. So what I could have done is I could have recorded you an episode on an aspect of marketing or social media or blogging, kind of thing that I often cover on the show. But just as I thought there was value in sharing my journey, my marathon journey, in my training and how I kept motivated, how I recovered from setbacks and all of that useful stuff, I thought actually there might be some value in me sharing my experience of not achieving my goal and how I'm going to bounce back from this setback, because it does feel like a setback. As I'm recording this, I do feel pretty gutted, and I'll talk to you a little bit more about that. So what I want to do in this episode is to share my approach to dealing with setbacks, because I've certainly experienced quite a few in my time, in the hope that there will be some useful nuggets in there for you that you can apply when you come across a big setback in your business or even your life. So I'm going to start by just giving you a bit of background to the run-up to the event, and then I'm going to talk about my process for dealing with setbacks, because I've learned over the years that I actually do have a process. I've never written it down, but I tend to do the same things after I experience a setback. And just to put this into context, so this is the 2018 London Marathon, if you're listening in the future. So to give you a bit of context, so I started training for this marathon. Actually, last summer, I started pre-training. The background is I've run 3 London Marathons already. I ran in 2014. I ran again in 2015. I had a break in 2016 because I had an injury, and I ran last year. Each year, I've got better. So in 2014, I ran in about 4 hours 55, I think it was. Then I did 4 hours 41 the following year. And last year, I did a personal best of 4 hours 25. And the aim this year was to get to 4 hours and 10 minutes. And I was running for the Ectopic Pregnancy Trust. So I wanted to raise awareness of ectopic pregnancy, of the signs and the symptoms, but also to support families who've been affected by it. And actually, the good news is I have raised almost £4,000 for my cause, and more on that later. So just to give you a bit of background, I actually started my pre-training last summer because I knew that if I wanted to hit this target of 4 hours 10, in fact, my long-term target is I want to run a marathon in under 4 hours. But I knew that I'd need to work on my shorter distances. So I knew I need to get faster at 5K and 10K and half marathon. So what I did was I hired a running coach. So I hired Lynn from my running club. And what she does for me is she sets me a training plan every week. So every week she sends me, or she does it usually a month or two in advance. She sends me 4 sessions that I have to do during the week, which are basically helping to work towards whatever our goal is at the time. And on a Sunday evening, I have to email her my Garmin stats. So my Garmin is my running watch, and then she can then pour over my times and also my heart rate. So you can see, she can see how hard that I was working. That's been brilliant for me in terms of accountability, because knowing that I have to email her on a Sunday night, that keeps me motivated. If I'm doing a session and I think, oh, I feel like giving up, or I feel like just slowing down on this one, I know that I've got to send it to her, and that I usually hit my times just because of that. But also on the times when I haven't hit my targets, knowing that I have to kind of explain it and I have to talk about what happened and reflect. Lynn's really kind of more of a performance coach, so I have to reflect on what happened. And actually, you know, this episode, I guess some of the reflections that I'm going to share with you come from that process that Lynn has got me in the habit of. And I think it's a very, very good one. The other thing about it, which is great, is that I don't have to think too hard. So I know that I'm going to get 4 sessions a week. All I have to do is to put them in my diary, and that does make life a lot easier. So that's been really brilliant. So even from last summer, I'm just picturing myself now back on the running track over the summer, working hard on speed sessions to try and pull up my time. Had a setback actually in the autumn. I sprained my ankle and I was just about to do a 10K race. That was my first target, to improve my 10K time. And I did get better just in time and do the race. I didn't quite hit my target personal best because I had to have quite a bit of time out of running to recover. But that was a bit of a setback. But I did manage actually in the autumn to get a personal best on my 10K of about 48 minutes, which isn't bad for someone of my age. I'm in my mid-40s now, so it's not bad at all. So that was really good. And in January, I started like training for real. So the pre-training part was just to kind of get my times up and get me comfortable at running faster speeds. And then we got into the proper marathon training in January. So first week of the year, setback, I was ill. I had a really, really bad dose of sinusitis. In fact, I think I actually delayed the start of my podcast episodes for a week. I've never done that before, but I delayed my content for a week because I was just feeling so, so dreadful. So I had to skip the first week of my training. Went straight into week two, and then that was building the mileage. So if you've ever trained for a marathon, you know that you build up your mileage to, in my case, it was about 20 miles, and you build it a mile or two a week. And I generally did those runs on a Sunday morning. And then in the midweek, you'll be doing three other sessions, in my case. So I was doing one speed session or a hill session or something that kind of really pushed me and pushed me on the pace. And then I'd be doing some other sort of distances to the point where I was running, I don't know, 50 miles a week or something at the top end. And then you have your taper. Had another setback along the way with my training. About 4 weeks ago, in fact, I developed really bad pain in one of my feet. Turned out that I had tendonitis, but it was so bad that I had to pull up on my last 20-mile run and stop 7 miles in. And it turned out, I mean, I was convinced I had some kind of stress fracture or something because the pain was so bad. But it was just tendonitis and I had to kind of work through it. But I had to miss my last two biggish runs, or had to pull off the first one and then I had to miss another one. And that did sort of worry me a little bit. But I got back on track and I was feeling pretty good, ready for the marathon, put all this training in, was easily hitting my times in training. So in my long 20-mile run, I very easily hit my target times for the marathon. So all was looking good. But the thing is, if you're from the UK, you'll know this, but we've had really, really cold weather. We've had a really cold snap this year. So we've had snow in March. I think we even had some snow in April. We've had ice, we've had hail, we've had it all. So I've done most of my training in quite cold weather. And also, because I don't want my 3-hour runs to take up a whole day, I tend to go out and do them pretty early. So I'll be out at 6 or 7 o'clock. As soon as it gets light, basically, I'll be out doing my long run so that I can be home and be with the family for the rest of the day on a Sunday. So I have to say I was a little bit worried when I saw the weather reports about a week or so ago that it was being predicted to be the hottest London Marathon ever on record. And they were predicting it was going to be like 24 degrees or something. And just to give you a bit of background, I am not somebody who is very good with hot weather. So if you've seen pictures of me, you'll know that I'm very pale skinned. I've got red hair. I'm from, you know, one side of the family's Irish, the other side of the family is Scottish. So I am, you know, not really made for hot weather. But with me, I think it's a little bit more than that. I've got my family often joke about the fact that I literally can't stay in the garden for longer than about 5 or 10 minutes when it's hot. I'm just always inside hiding in the shade. And when you've got pale skin like that, I think people often think it's because you're worried about getting burnt. And I am totally worried about getting burnt. I'm always there like slapping on my factor 50 all the time. But actually with me, it's more than that. It's like my internal heating system just can't cope. I'm often heard saying that to people. And when I've been on holiday in really hot countries, like I remember being in Croatia one year, and my husband and daughter, they went off sightseeing and I was like, look, I'm just going to have to stay in this cafe. I cannot go out. I just can't get my breath. And it's making me feel really distressed. Another year in Pompeii, I went to Pompeii with my husband and I stayed in the cafe while he went and looked at everything. It was just too hot. I just couldn't cope. And yeah, I just start to get into trouble. So I should have really heeded the warning signs and I should have known. But I tend to think I've got this kind of personality where I think I can do anything I want just through determination. Like if I'm determined, if I'm committed, I can just do it. And I've done races in snow, in hail. I remember one particular race that I did and it was hailing the whole way through and my hands were so cold that I was crying. It was that bad, but I wouldn't give up because there was no way I was dropping out of that race. And I have never, ever, ever dropped out of a race ever. Like however bad it's been, however bad my time has looked like it was going to be, I've just kept going. So this is why this whole thing is you know, it's really shocked me because it's not anything that's ever happened to me before. So that's the context about the heat. I was worried about it because I don't cope very well with heat. But I just thought, look, I've trained for this. I'm really determined. It's only one day. It's like 4 hours of my life. I can do this. I can cope. So I set off. I didn't readjust my expectations because of the heat. I thought, I want 4 hours 10. So I'm just going to go out at that and I'm going to be fine, is what I thought to myself. But about 5 or 6 miles in, it became apparent that I was really struggling and I was already thinking about pulling out. I was just so hot. I was taking water, but it just wasn't helping at all. But I was again worried about the fact that if you overhydrate in a race, that can be really dangerous as well. It's just as dangerous as dehydrating. My face was hot. I was getting blotchy. My head was so hot. And it's hard to explain. I just wasn't feeling good at all. And I was thinking to myself, if I'm feeling this bad, then how am I going to feel in 20 miles? And my experience, I've done 3 London marathons. My experience has always been that the first, 15, 16 miles are a breeze because you're generally running in a marathon much slower pace than you would be for shorter distances. So my marathon pace is easy. I can talk, I can chat away to people while I'm running my marathon pace. It's no problem. The hard bit is when you get to 6, 8 miles and you start to get tired. So when I started to feel really bad at 5 or 6 miles in, I knew there was a problem. And every mile it was just really hard, even at that early stage. And I was thinking about giving up. I was thinking I'm not going to be able to do this, and just having these really negative thoughts. And I was getting hotter and hotter and thirstier and thirstier. And that was really 8 miles, 9 miles, 10 miles. And in the end, it just came to a head. And I got to about 12 miles. I was feeling dizzy and just so hot and overheated by that stage. I just stopped and I went to the water station and I said, look, I think I need some medical help. They sat me down. The St. John's ambulance people came. They took me off. They sat me for a while and they took me off to the tent. They said my pulse was racing, but actually they monitored me for a while and it did calm down. They said that I could go back out. But I just knew that in order to complete those 14 miles, I felt like the only way I would be able to do that would be by basically kind of walk running, maybe stopping and spending some time with the St. John's people. And I couldn't see a way that I could just get out and start running and just keep running. I just kind of hit rock bottom. So I made the decision that I would pull out and not make any further risk to my health. And it's really interesting. I find it quite hard to make decisions sometimes, but I made a really snap decision. I made the decision really, really quickly. And it was only really afterwards as I had to do what I'm now referring to as the walk of shame. I had to go back to, once they'd checked my pulse had gone down and kept me there for a while and checked, they thought I was okay. I had to go back to London Bridge Station and then I had to catch the tube to Westminster and go and collect my bag, which was awful. It took ages and I wasn't feeling great and I had to wait around. And I did meet this guy on the tube who had also obviously had to pull out and he developed a hamstring injury and we walked together. We went back to the mall together to get our stuff. But I was just kind of like in shock because I just never imagined not finishing. I never imagined not having my medal and not being there at the end with my finisher's t-shirt and all the stuff. It just hadn't really entered my head that could happen. And all the way I was beating myself up, I knew that the only way, and this was only an if, that I would have been able to get myself to that finish in those conditions would be if I'd kind of walk, run, stopped off to get help. And, you know, that was where I was. But I was thinking, well, should I have done that? You know, should I have just kind of like taken the risk and just seen? My parents, my family were so relieved that I pulled out because they know I'm not a quitter and they know there must have been something, you know, really, really wrong for me to do that. But of course, I was beating myself up and I'm sure I will carry on beating myself up for the next few weeks as to whether that was the right thing to do. So I do have a kind of process, I guess, that I go through when I experience a setback in life or business. And so as I've been reflecting over the last few days, or the last day actually, it's so fresh, these are the steps I've gone through. So the first thing that I tend to do is I always take responsibility and I always ask myself, how am I to blame? Like everybody's been telling me, like, you're not to blame for this, you couldn't help it, you know, it was just the weather. But actually there are always things that you could have done and there are always things that you could have changed. And I think it's just a natural default of my personality, but I will always actually go, okay, what could I have done and what could I have done differently? Because yes, the weather came along. And yes, that's not my fault, but I could have changed my reaction to it. And I think some things that maybe I did wrong, but and certainly I need to think about this. So the first thing was I could have just pulled out. Like when I saw what the weather was going to be like, I could have even pulled out on the day when I was standing there, because when I got to the start and I saw how hot it was, at 8 o'clock in the morning, it was hot. I was in a vest, I was in shorts. I had my jumper tied around my shoulders because I was worried about getting burnt, even though I was like covered in factor 50. I could feel myself getting burnt. And that was just as I was waiting at the start line. And that was, you know, between the hours of 8 and 9:45 or something in the morning. So I could have actually just said, do you know what? I don't cope very well with the heat. I don't think it's a good idea for me to do this race. That would have been a really brave thing to do, but I could have done it. The second thing is that I could have started slower. So I could have just gone, right, okay, it's really, really hot today. I don't think today's my day for 4 hours 10. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to completely revise my expectations. And because I was raising money for charity, so I was running for the Ectopic Pregnancy Trust and I'd raised a lot of money, I could have actually been really public about that. And I could have just posted on my Facebook, my Twitter, look, guys, it's really, really hot today. I was going to be aiming for 4 hours 10, but actually I think what I'm going to have to do is just get myself around somehow today. So it might be a while before you see me at the finish. Why didn't I do that? I think that there was a lot of pride involved. So I think that I knew I had Lynn, my running coach, was rooting for me. A lot of my friends at the running club were rooting for me and were going to be along the way as well. And, you know, they were really backing me to get this time. Actually, I think it would have taken more courage for me to say, look, I don't do well in the heat. And just say, tell everybody publicly. In fact, I could have even, when I came off, maybe, I could have just got onto my Facebook or Twitter and said to everybody, look, guys, I've had to have some treatment at St. John's. I'm going to finish this race, but it's going to take me a while. And I might have to stop off for some help on the way. I could have done all of that. And I'll talk more about this later, but I think maybe there was some pride and some ego going on about this time. And I think I've worked out what the problem could be just by kind of saying, okay, where did I go wrong in this? So the next thing I think I could have done is to even just maybe go out a little bit slower and just sort of see how things felt. But I went out like uncompromisingly, right, I'm going out of my 4 hours 10 pace. In fact, I was a little bit quicker to start off with. And, you know, I think I thought that I was bigger and stronger than the weather conditions and that sheer determination would get me around. And I didn't heed my body and I didn't respect the fact that I know that my body struggles in the heat. I know my body just struggles sitting in the garden in the heat, never mind running a marathon. The next thing I think I could have done is done some training in the heat. Now, that probably sounds a little bit extreme. It's probably less practical than some of the other things, but it's possible. I could have maybe gone abroad. I could have got an EasyJet flight or Ryanair or something and just gone somewhere and done some training runs. I mean, not easy, not practical, but I could have done it. And this is why I'm kind of sharing this. I do always like to go back, and I think it's easy when something happens to us to say, oh, well, that's not my fault. That was just all external things going on there. But actually, there's always something that you could do. And I think that actually one of my greatest strengths is the fact that I do tend to blame myself for everything. And I always think, what could I have done differently? But I think in those moments when you're beating yourself up and saying, what could I have done differently? You've actually come up with some really good ideas. I've now got those ideas that I've just listed there I didn't have before. I didn't think that it was possible that I could go out, I could go to a race and maybe say, actually, I'm not doing it because it's too hot. I didn't think that was possible. Now I think, well, actually, that is possible. I could do that. If I found myself in that situation again, I could say, for the sake of my health, I'm not going to do this race. I could now see that it's possible that if I turned up to a race and the conditions were bad, that I could just say to everybody, look, I've decided I'm not going to go for my target pace today. I am just going to set off slowly and see how I go because I struggle with the heat. So I've learned something, you know, I've learned something I didn't know before. I didn't almost realize that it was possible that you could do that and you could just say that. So I've learned that. And I think there's quite a lot of humility in that. So in terms of the learnings, so first off, I feel I do need to acknowledge that I had some really good wins in my training. So I got a personal best on my 10K. I also got a personal best on my half marathon recently as part of my training. So I did a half marathon in 1:50, which was a 5-minute personal best move, which is brilliant. I did a 10 miler. I did that in about 1:20 minutes, which again was a nice big personal best for me. And that was all part of my training. So I have had some really good wins and I've definitely got better as a runner. So that's brilliant. I've learned about the heat. And I knew that I wasn't good in heat. I know that I can get into trouble in the heat even when I'm just on holiday or even when it just gets a bit hot. You know, I'm the person, when I went out to have done two mastermind retreats with Chris Duckett in the Philippines, and I was the person, everybody else was in the pool. I walked past the pool in my hat like once, I think. I didn't go in the pool because I can't cope with the heat, and I would just find somewhere shady to sit, like just inside, or I'd go in the beach bar and people would sort of come and sit with me. But I wouldn't go out in the direct sunlight and I wouldn't go in the pool or anything because I know I just don't cope well with heat. We went out on a boat trip one day and some people got taken back early. I was one of them because I wasn't coping well with the heat. And the signs were there. And I think it really has, one of the big learnings is I need to respect my body and know what my body copes well with and what it doesn't. I've also learned that I need to be prepared to chase my race plan. I think I've touched on this really already, but I didn't think it was possible that, you know, I just kind of got so focused on my goals that I didn't think it was possible to say, hey, this is what I was planning, but actually this has come up, so I'm going to readjust that and just kind of be okay with that and be okay with sharing that with people. I think that maybe I let some of my pride and my ego get in the way and, you know, basically went out too fast. If I'd maybe held back a little bit or maybe readjusted my expectations, maybe I would have my medal now and maybe I wouldn't have the time that I was hoping for, but I've had my medal and I'd have the satisfaction of saying that I completed the race. And one really big thing that just came up for me, and it was just this morning actually as I was plotting out this episode, is that maybe I need to stop running marathons to raise money for charity. Now, that's not to say that I need to stop raising money for charity, but maybe I need to stop that particular way of doing it, because I think that yesterday I was raising money for a charity and thankfully, you know, all of those donations still stand, and I'm going to go out actually at the weekend and do the remaining 14 miles just because I don't like to feel that I've kind of broken my promises or not finished something. I'm going to go and do a 14 mile run at the weekend and post on social media about it so that I feel like I at least deserve all those donations. But actually, I think there's a conflict there. So running to achieve a particular time, in my case, 4 hours, 10 minutes, and then having the charity money, that presented a massive conflict for me because the conditions changed. I knew things were going to be hard out there. I knew that potentially I could be putting my health at risk by going for my target time. And what I probably should have done is just said, okay, well, today's about the charity. Okay, I've been working towards this time for months and months and months, but today's about raising the money for charity. But because I was conflicted over the two things, that probably made me make some bad decisions, I think. And so it made me think about whether, if I'm going to run a marathon, I just run a marathon and work towards the time for the satisfaction of doing so. And maybe I raise charity money in other ways. Or maybe I decide I'm just going to run some marathons or some races to raise money and not worry about my time. And then maybe go for a marathon at another time, maybe where I'm just going for the time, but maybe not mix the two. That's a really, really big learning point for me. And that just came to me this morning, actually. So after reflecting on my part, my responsibility and the key takeaways and learnings, so the next thing I usually think about, okay, what are my next steps? In my case, I'm worried that if I don't do another marathon until next year, I do actually have a place for London next year, that the whole thing will knock my confidence and I don't want to get out on the start line next year having had this bad experience and being nervous and scared about that. So I think I'm going to run another marathon. In fact, I might do it really soon. I might do it in the next 2 or 4 weeks. And my mum will absolutely kill me. So I probably won't even be able to tell her. So don't share this episode with her. But I think I need to do that. I think I need to go and do a marathon. I was able to do those times in training, no problem. I should be able to do it, but obviously just not in a really hot, difficult conditions. And I think I just need to get back up running with my club on Wednesday and remember what I enjoy about running. So I hope you found that interesting or useful. It's a little bit different than what you're used to, but I find that I tend to, when I have a setback in my life or business, I do have this process I go through, and I thought you might find it interesting just to hear about it. There might be a few nuggets in there that you might be able to take away when you experience a setback and when you're having to bounce back from something that's knocked you for six. It certainly has knocked me for six. It's going to take me a little while to recover, but I think hopefully sharing it with you and talking to you about it will be helpful for you as well. And next time that you come up against something big, there might be just be something in here that helps you with your decision making and your next steps.
Thanks for listening, and if you enjoyed the show, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you're listening right now. And also don't forget about my podcast guide. So this lists all of my podcast episodes to date. They're categorized by theme. So whatever challenge you're facing in your business, then you should be able to find a podcast episode, or in fact, several, to help you solve your problem. And you can get that at janetmurray.co.uk/podcast guide. So that's janetmurray.co.uk/podcast guide.